Our text this morning is from Acts chapter 2. Hear now the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Today, smudge pots are usually just used as decorations on somebody's pretty patio or porch. But originally, they were used by work crews at construction sites. That dangerous practice has largely ended, but several years ago, the 4-year-old daughter of a construction worker got too close to one of those smudge pots, and her pants caught fire. Those pants weren't flame retardant like some kids' clothing are today, and Sarah's pants just flashed as if they were straw. She survived that accident. Sarah had a long recovery, lots of pain, but she survived. The burn treatments then weren't as advanced as they are today, and Sarah's legs were a mess. From top to bottom, the leathery scars looked like puzzle pieces, little knots of flesh fitted together, a jigsaw of scars and suffering. By the time Sarah was 8 or 9, maybe a fourth grader, she had already endured the ridicule that often comes to one who's different. Well, one day, Sarah's teacher asked the class, "If you could have one wish, what would it be?" Now, what sort of answers would you expect from a room full of third and fourth graders? A new pony? A new bike? Our third and fourth graders were a little more sophisticated. One wanted a shotgun. Another wanted a mansion. One wanted her braces off, and another wanted to travel to Mexico. All of them wanted to be rich and famous. And two girls wanted to be each other's sisters instead of being stuck with the sisters they already had. If you could have one wish, what would it be? Well, you know what Sarah wanted? Sarah wrote, "I want everyone to have legs like me." Not so that folks would suffer. Not to have other kids hurt as she had. Sarah wanted everyone to have legs like hers because when we suffer, we want others to understand. We want them to be like us so they can identify with us. We don't want to be alone. Of all the powerful, beautiful, and mystifying results of the gift of the Holy Spirit, I think this ability to empathize with one another, to understand and share another's pain, is perhaps the most dear to me. In our reading from Acts, that word Pentecost comes from the word that means 50. Pentecost was the 50th day after Passover. It's the culmination of the Feast of Weeks, a Jewish harvest festival that celebrates the wheat harvest. On this day, this 50th day called Pentecost, Jesus' disciples were all gathered together in one place. They were waiting, watching, praying, still reeling from Jesus' death. From the sightings of Jesus after his resurrection, they were probably still fearing the authorities that had crucified Jesus. They were wondering, don't you think, if they would ever see Jesus again. What knit these people together was their confusion, their experiences with Jesus, the uncertainty of all that followed his life and death and resurrection, and Jesus' command to go and wait. They had been waiting a long time. Wait for a test result, just a few days, and see how that feels. Wait for your spouse to return from a business trip and see how long that seems. Look for work every day for a month with no results. And you tell me, what were those disciples thinking and feeling? They'd been waiting a long time, and they had no idea how much longer they would be waiting or even really what they were waiting for. But on this day, we're told, there was a sudden wind, a sound like a violent wind. You think it sounded like a train? Like one of those summer storms that comes bursting across town? Don't you know they were startled, frightened, confused, and then what looked like tongues of fire came to rest on each of them, flames, like from a smudge pot, rested upon my head and your head and everyone's heads. And the scripture says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And on that Pentecost day, the result of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit was that each one gathered there began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. People were speaking languages they didn't know. I'm speaking French, even though I can't parlez-vous français. You're speaking Arabic, and you can't even figure out which way to read it on a page. Granny is speaking Spanish, and she can't even order Mexican. And the only reason that this was helpful or powerful or noteworthy, really, is because at this great annual festival, Jerusalem is filled with Jews from all across the world. Jews who had left generations ago, who no longer probably even spoke Hebrew and Arabic. These Jews began to hear the disciples declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. The Medes heard in their own language. The Persians heard in their own language. The Egyptians heard in their language. Those from Libya heard in their. The miracle of this first Pentecost was not the gift of ecstatic speech that we read about elsewhere in the Bible. The gift of this first Pentecost was the gift of communication, the gift of hearing, the gift of understanding. The gift of understanding. And with this gift of the Spirit, I believe God gave more than just the ability to speak or understand different languages. I believe God also gave us the ability to understand each other. Beginning at Pentecost, God's Spirit enables us to crawl inside each other's hearts and minds, sharing hurts and joys in a way not possible before. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, it's almost as if we can have legs like little Sarah. We can share her hurt. With God's help, we really can understand each other with a clarity and union available only as a gift from God. Psychologists, theologians, they all call this experience empathy. Not sympathy, when we think we know how someone else feels, or when we project onto them what we would feel, but empathy, actually feeling and understanding what another feels. Empathy is your pain in my heart. It's my pain in your heart. And God makes that possible by the working of the Holy Spirit. You might call it empathy when former President Gerald Ford visited Northeastern University to visit some student leaders. One of those students stepped off the elevator, caught her heel, tripped, and fell into the president. Over and over again, she apologized as he helped her back to her feet. But Ford simply smiled at her and said, "Don't worry, dear, I understand completely." And we know that he did understand. That's empathy. Or you might call it empathy when every one of the 14 boys in Mr. Alter's fifth grade class had no hair. Only one of the boys had no choice in the matter, but all 14 were bald. Ian was undergoing chemo for lymphoma. And as his hair began to fall out, he just shaved it. Everyone noticed. Nobody said anything. But for some reason, 10-year-old Kyle didn't just feel sorry for Ian. Kyle began to feel what Ian felt. And not wanting Ian to feel any more isolated than he already was, Kyle led the other boys into shaving their heads too. You might call it empathy that caused Kyle to act. Could it have been the Holy Spirit that gave Kyle the gift of understanding? I think it was. Or when a room full of recovering alcoholics meet to share their struggles, successes, and failures, it would just be this giant pity party were it not for that higher power that they acknowledge and the work of the Holy Spirit that helps them to cut through the lies and to get on with recovery. When we grovel around in our shared misery, nothing good comes of it. But when touched by God's Spirit, we do more than share our misery. We change and grow and recover. God's Spirit allows us to feel and understand each other's hurts. And because of that, God's Spirit also stirs us to act. We don't just know how the woman tripping out of the elevator feels. We let her know we've been there too. We don't just feel sorry for Ian's cold head and get him a hat. The Spirit stirs us to shave our own heads so we can all wear hats together. And we don't just wallow in our misery and addiction. We help each other out of it because the Holy Spirit causes us to act in different ways, in new ways, in ways shaped and tempered by the gift of understanding that the Holy Spirit brings, that beautiful gift of understanding. We see that when a husband understands that his wife needs sleep more than he needs to read the paper. We see it when a child understands that his mother is grumpy because her knees hurt and he gets her a stool. We see it when a friend understands that the silence and curtness aren't about her, but about the pressures at work. In all of these places, in all of these ways, we see the Holy Spirit at work giving the gift of understanding. And I have seen the work of the Holy Spirit in the group we celebrate today, United Methodist Women. That group started over 130 years ago, born from an interest in human rights, from this spark of understanding and empathy. This group began sending out missionaries and helping to change the lives of people all across the world. Today, the United Methodist Women is the largest women's organization in the world. And it raises millions of dollars each year to aid social justice in more than 100 countries. What started as a spark, a small spark of understanding, has spread like a raging inferno all across the world. To start a fire, all it takes is a spark. Sometimes just a spark of understanding. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. send forth your Spirit, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. I pray you go this week looking to understand those around you. May God light the fire in your heart again. Amen.